Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ministry Along the Way Radio. My name is Demetria. I'm one of your co-hosts.
Hello, guys. This is Tanyelle. Happy Tuesday.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I just love that theme song.
I know.
It's a different world. It takes me back.
Yeah, and this time I really listened to the words as it was playing today. I kind of really was listening to the words. And when it said focus on our goals, I think that's I know what we're going to talk about today, but that's just a good theme to kind of stick with, because if we do focus on the goal of living Christ-like, you know, this can be a wonderful world, you know? So, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and it just kind of, you know, lets us know once we step outside into that world, it's a whole different animal. Don't be surprised at what you find.
Yeah. It's a different world, you know. Trust me, I know.
Yes.
I was a part of that world. It's a different world.
Yes, it is. Once again, we are visiting the topic, It's a Different World. This is part two. And we're just talking about some of the differences in our world across the decades, across the centuries and the generations, and how different things are today. Some of them are good, and, you know, we're giving our opinions here. Some are good. Some are really remarkable. That's a word that I kept using last week, because some of the technology just really stuns me. Other things we might look at as not being as beneficial for our society, but nonetheless, they're changes, they're differences. And so we're just tossing our opinion out here on how we feel about one thing or the other. And we do have a caller in already, I'm happy to say. Let me just go ahead and give our number out for you. Those of you who are listening in over the computer, if you want to call in and add your voice to the conversation tonight, you can dial 347-637-3604 and press the number 1 if you want to talk to us. So, Tanyelle, you want to lead us out tonight, or you want me to go ahead? Hello, Tanyelle, you there? Well, I'm not sure what happened there with Tanyelle. I hope everybody else can hear me okay. It looks like
Demetria, did I lose you?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I got an interruption through the phone. I do apologize, but you can definitely leave.
Okay. You know, last week we started off talking about the differences with women. So how about tonight we start with men? Do you think men have changed over the decades, over the generations? Are they still kind of have the same goals, or do you think things have changed?
Yeah, the role of the man has changed. It has.
Yeah, from the traditional provider, protector of the family, what do you think are some of the differences we see today in the man's role?
Well, I mean, we're starting to see more and more the absence of the male in the home. I mean, that's one of the things that stands out largely. And then just the male being very active in, even in the household, you hear the mother always is taking the kids to practices and things like that. And I'm not saying that men out there aren't doing it, because I don't want to, like, you know, have this sound like a male bashing thing, but there has been a huge noticeable absence of the males, especially in the African-American community. And so that has changed a little bit. Even guys, you know, kind of taking that role in the neighborhood, like chastising or raising up some of the neighbor's children, kind of, you know, like telling something to the young guy in the neighborhood. I haven't seen that as much.
I think you're right about that. Mr. Bridges brought that up to me one time. He said, like, when he was growing up, you see a man drive into his yard, and you knew he had been to work. You know, this is at the end of the day, and they would just kind of interact. You grew up just knowing that you had those men, those pillars in the neighborhood. You know, it kind of helped even keep the kids under restraint. They just had a respect level because they saw them. They were present. And just by seeing them, you kind of, you know, you tailor your behavior, you tailor your talk. And now, like you said, these days you kind of, you know, there may be a male in the home, but because of the comings and the goings of every individual in the household, we just don't see it visually anymore. Not that they're not even there, but it's just all the back and forth, coming and going. So that is a good observation.
And I also would like to add to that, too. We talked about it last week a little bit about women and the career roles that women are taking on. Some of that change has also, and this is just my opinion, in some ways has affected the role of the male, where you may have a more dominant woman in the household. And so the woman is making a lot of the decisions. And you know, I think we could talk about that a whole lot. But where the male being, you know, the leader in the household, and they come in together to make decisions, again, you just see more of the mother who's making some of the decisions about where the child is going to school and different things of that nature. And so that has changed, where, you know, we're starting to see a more more leadership coming from the female. And I'm a strong woman, ladies, but I'm learning my place also, because I am preparing to be a wife, so I'm learning my role, you know, so yeah. Yes, I've noticed that too. So I just,
Yeah, I have noticed that as well, and I'm just wondering, even in our dating practices, dating's not the same anymore. Again, with the busyness of everybody, there's more internet dating, really meeting strangers over cyberspace. And then perhaps getting together and seeing if you can build something upon that. I'm not downing it. I'm not knocking it, because I know people have found significant relationships that way. But I'm just noting that it's a different world.
Yeah, but, you know, we can talk about that a little bit, Missy. And it has taken a little bit of that pursuit part of it out of the way. You know, it has made it a little easy for guys to I guess, you know, get or engage with a female, or, you know, there's no dating. It's just all hooking up. I don't think we date anymore. It's hooking up. And I know me, for one, who's back into the dating pool, that's kind of a little, you know, different for me, because, you know, as women, I would like to be pursued. So I don't, you know, that whole hooking up kind of thing, I don't like that. So yeah, we have really some of those things have contributed to the role of the male in seeking or pursuing the woman, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, you said you're back in the dating pool. How are you going about dating? Are you internet dating?
You know I'm not.
I know.
I know you want the question. I know. I got it. I get it. But no.
What's it called, Mom? E-Harmony? Is that something that would interest you?
Okay, now I have to be honest. When I first became single, I looked on it and did a little profile, and I just was like, this is crazy. So I did not go forward with it. I did not.
Oh, really?
But
you found it to be crazy, you said?
It was a little too out of sorts for me, and I don't mean like crazy, like I saw crazy people, because I didn't even get that far. Like, I didn't fully go into creating the profile and all of that. You know, they would ask you a length of questions and stuff. And I just was like, this is not for me. So I didn't even get into the part of, of like being able to select people. I just was like, I just stuck to the fire and said, I'm old school and I'm just going to have to meet him at the grocery store, or he's going to have to know somebody that I know. I don't know. It's, you know. And so
that was just
go
a bit too different for you, huh?
It was a little bit too, yeah. It was a little bit too much. It was a little for me. You know, I've talked to friends that have done it before, and you know, hey, everybody has their thing. It's just it wasn't my thing. I'm strictly old school.
Right. Right. I am too. By the way, but. I'm not in that dating pool anymore, thank you, Jesus. But that's
you are so glad.
It's another story. I'm so glad I'm not. But
yes,
your time is coming.
Yeah, but you know what? Go ahead.
Mm-mm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but it's been very interesting, and I've learned a lot. I'm learning a lot about myself, some of those things about, like, what I like, you know, and those things that I can live with, you know, about a person. And so it's actually been kind of fun. I have met people, and so it's been fun in that selection process, you know, that face-to-face, you know, and I can immediately say, no, I'm not going to go for that, or, you know. So it's actually been interesting. It's really been interesting.
You know, you'll have to update me.
I will. But what are some of those other things that we've seen and noticed that have changed? And LaFanya and I'm shout out to LaFanya. I know she listens. We were talking late last night, really late, and just talking about some of the males, like. Because you started off talking about the men. And one thing we were just talking about how we're talking about crime in the city. And we were just looking at how most of the people who are committing the crime, how they are all linked in some way, like they know one another and, you know, and this one particular individual, you know him, and he's actually getting ready to go on trial pretty soon. His mother was a teacher at Bonneville. And so we were talking about the young man, and his name is in the news, so I can say it, but Ms. Bateson. And you know, knowing how, you know, he was raised pretty much from a good family, and just seeing how people can get off track. And that was one of those things, again, talking about the role of the male in the family, the role of the male in a community, that the male presence has to be there, and it has to be a strong male presence, and I don't mean the presence of somebody that's going to steer someone down the wrong road, because there is that presence, of course, but I'm talking about a male who's following Christ's commandments, who's seeking after Christ's heart, and just, you know, someone who loves his family and then extended and has also purpose in the community and sees the benefit of being there in the community. And we don't see that. So we often are seeing young guys who particularly were good young men growing up and that steered off the wrong track. And one of the things we ended the conversation with her saying that we really need to pray for the men, for young black men. And I will continue to do that. So that was, you know, just a conversation we had last night. Nobody's chastising them. Nobody's making them feel, in, you know, a little bad about what they're doing. Nobody's making them feel uncomfortable about their behavior. I think people are becoming so fearful of these, and I call them children, you know, that nobody's telling them, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, that's not right.
Right. There is definitely a change in values just across the board in our society today. And, of course, I believe that that starts with families, and that's what we're talking about with the men and their roles, but also mm-hmm. the extended family. Remember how we used to come together for Sunday dinners? Remember those big Sunday dinners after
yeah.
church? Mm-hmm. All the cousins, the aunts, the uncles, everybody was there together. We don't do that anymore. That's a big difference that I miss.
Well, we absolutely don't do that. We don't do it anymore. We used to drive out to New Orleans to meet up at my grandmother's every Sunday, and we've even gotten away from it. After Katrina, it just seems like it, you know, shifted things a little bit. We do try our best, though, to meet up for other engagements, and I will say when football season is here, Shanks bring us together on a Sunday, so I'm thankful for that. And we have, as a family, talked about getting back to that, like getting back to that camaraderie of just meeting and fellowshipping together on a Sunday, you know, and not everyone
right.
kind of scattered trying to figure out, where am I going to go eat today and stuff like that. Those things matter, you're right, Niecy, you know, getting
right.
together with family on Sundays.
Those were good times, you know, really good memories. And, you know, it makes
mm-hmm.
me think that even now, you know, we used to live near each other, you know, families, and not that some of us don't. I have a good bit of family that live near me, and maybe I'm just feeling this way because I know my daughter's getting ready to go move out a little further away from me. My son is already living in Texas, so maybe I'm just feeling a little something here. But families used to live nearby, and they were a part of the upbringing of the younger ones. You know, the older ones were just there. Everybody came up
mm-hmm.
together and took care of each other. And, you know, if school was out, my grandmother was there. You know, so the kids had somewhere to go, a nurturing adult, a nurturing caregiver. That's a difference. You know, daycare is a big booming business, especially during the summertime when kids are out of school. But that's another difference that I've noted. Big families move off
mm-hmm.
and start their own life elsewhere.
Right. People are looking for opportunities, so they may move to another state. So you're not seeing any more of those generational neighborhoods is what you're talking about. And same thing, we mentioned that last night, that we did not grow up rich by any means. We were not, LaFanya and I were talking, and but we felt like we had everything. And we just kind of reflected for a moment that we actually had a really good child upbringing, you know, because of what you just explained. My grandmother, her house was the hub, and we can go there
right.
and hang out all day. And it was never even mentioned about, you need to pay me to watch your children. You know, LaFanya brought that up and mentioned that to my parents, like, you know, I need you to pay me to watch them or something. It was just, we just went
right.
over there. It was natural. You know, my great aunt lived across the street.
In anybody's mind.
Absolutely. No. My great aunt lived across the street from us. On my mom's side of the family, she kept us, or my grandfather kept us. There was somebody who was close to us. It wasn't a stranger that would take care of us in the absence of our parents if they wanted to go out and have a free time, you know. So, yeah, that has changed totally. You're starting not to see generations of families in a neighborhood, you know, that has changed.
Yeah. You know, we're going to just throw out a lot of different subjects, or as much as time will allow us to. And here's one that I find very interesting is I love books. You know that.
Yes, I do.
Libraries. Do people even go to libraries anymore? I do.
Yes, they do. They do. They do. I'm not going to say I do, but people do. They're where I play tennis, across the street, I've used the restroom there to change my clothes from time to time.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got to admit it. You know, I have to keep it honest. And there are people in that library when I take my niece to check every other Tuesday. We're going to kick that back up again, but at the Elders Library, there's people in that library. And let me tell you, Nisa, you will love it. There's children in that library. They're there on their own, some of them. Seems like they get dropped when they are getting out of school. They go directly to the library. I've seen them get off the bus and go in there and start in their homework. So, and they're doing their homework, of course, sometimes without their parents. So I don't know if they're waiting until the parent gets off from work or with that, you know,
yeah,
with the dynamic.
A lot of them are waiting for tutors. A lot of them, they have tutors, after-school tutoring, and they meet at the library for that. But
they're in there. You'll be happy to know that.
I'm there quite often, so I do see them. In fact, I have like three different library cards for three different parishes. So if I'm here in St. Charles, Jefferson, St. John, I got library cards. I think I even have one for East Baton Rouge Parish. Whenever I've moved, like I've moved to Pensacola once upon a time, that's one of the first things I did. I went to the library, got my library card. I know this is someplace I'm going to be.
That may have to be a challenge for me, a challenge to throw out to me that maybe I should start going back to it. I got hooked on Barnes & Nobles, just go in and buy the book kind of thing. And so I would, you know, go to Barnes & Nobles and sit in there for hours, you know, hours. And like I said, even bring my niece in there. And so I got away from going to the library, I must admit.
Yeah. Love Barnes & Nobles, too. But the library is free. And guess what? You pay taxes. So you may as well go
and support your community.
Speaking of books. There's a big difference, and here's something that my daughter and I, we would jokingly have a conflict about. That was regular books with pages and the covers that you turn versus e-books. That's a major difference these days. And you know what? I have yet to read an e-book.
I don't like it.
Have you? Have you read?
I tried, and I don't like it. I gotta flip the pages. Now I'm still a book flipper. I have to touch the pages because I might jot down notes and stuff. I need to feel pages.
Right.
And so I do buy a lot of books. I will say, I don't like the e-books. I don't like it.
Yeah, I call that the dark side. I don't want to cross over to the dark side. No, I like my books, my pages. And if I could, I would have a library in my house. I could see myself just dedicating a whole room with the shelves, with steps going up. That might be maybe a goal of mine one day. Renovate.
Yeah.
Or if I move to a house, I want a library.
One thing I want to throw out at you, we kind of touched on it a little bit last week about news, getting real news. And I have to say, even news stations now are starting to sensationalize things too much. They want to have a social media component to it now. And so they're starting to not even be a separation of real news and social media type news. And we touched a little bit on it last Tuesday, but I was sitting at the computer today because, again, by me not watching television, I do go on like the Yahoo page, Yahoo News or Google. I'm you know, guilty of it, to see what news is out there, right? And just to keep up with current events and keep up with the news. And I'm so tired of seeing that, you know, it's just filled with foolishness, and what is news is really not news. Like, I don't want to know about this kid who's wearing a dress, and I'm purposefully not going to say his name because I don't want to give him any coverage on our station, but I don't want to know about that. It's not news. You know, those kind of stories you would have to buy, what was it, the magazine, the gossip magazine.
Trash magazines at the checkout counter.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then I don't want to know about this family that keeps commanding all of the media attention, so much so that Dateline even wanted them on. I understand social media, so, you know, I know you're going to find it there at social media, that kind of news. But then when you go to Dateline and it's all crossing over, 60 Minutes, it's all crossing over, shows that were reputable, you know, news outlets, and they're not anymore. And so, again, another challenge to myself. I said, well, if you're tired of seeing, you know, all the stories on that particular website, you need to find another website to get some better stories or find, you know. And so that's another challenge that I'm doing for myself, to actually search out Christian news websites and also more world-type news websites that are, you know, seeming to have some substance to it. Yeah.
Yeah, there are all kinds of avenues out there available. Everything is just a co-way. And with that in mind, I want to put the phone number out again. If you want to call in and add your voice to the conversation, you can do so by dialing 347-637-3604. Press the number 1 so you can talk with us. We are talking once again about the differences that have taken place in our world across the generations, basically across the world, but in particular here in the United States, those that we are more familiar with. But, Tanya, let's go ahead and take a break right now, and we can continue our conversation when we get back.
All right. We'll talk with you all real soon.
Okay.
And I am Tanya. So, Misi, I'm so sorry. I'm excited. I can't wait to say this point, but go ahead.
Go ahead. I just want to tell you what we're talking about once again tonight. It's a different world. I'm just talking about changes that have happened in our society and just giving our opinions about those. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay, so this is no slight on people who don't like to cook. And the reason it just came to mind, because I'm actually cooking right now, okay? But we eat out a lot. There's not often in too many home-cooked meals. And remember we were talking about those Sunday fellowships? But also just sitting down and you know, just talking over food. Food brings along, bring on conversation. And so we're starting to see a lot of health issues, even in youth, juvenile diabetes, and so forth and so on. And people just don't cook. And I'm not putting it all on the woman to cook. You know, I don't want anybody emailing us about that. And, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, mother, father, teach your teenage daughter or son how to cook. But there's not a lot of meals, you know, inside the home. And, you know, I, for one, I grew up like that. I thought we were poor because we didn't go to Mickey D's and get the fast food once Burger King and Mickey D's started coming about when we were children. And when I told you know, Royce about that, and I told him about that, he was like, "What?" I said, "Yeah, I used to think, why don't they take us to get a, you know, but we would, because it was always like a special thing or something." And it was just because he just did not like fast food. He knew the benefits of eating home cooked meals, and it's kind of still ingrained a little bit in me, even though, you know, I had that fast food lifestyle in college, but I've gotten back to cooking as an adult. But I just wish, you know, people would you know, cook in the home more, and folks are so busy now. You know, you're bringing your
that's
kids or
why the fast food is so popular. Because of the busyness of our lives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But even now, there's a trend that seems to be starting where they're getting away from more the McDonald's-type fast food restaurants, and they're going toward a healthier end. Nevertheless, it's still not being prepared at home, but people want a fast meal, and they're looking for healthier choices, is what I'm understanding. I think places like Panera Bread, and some
Chipotle,
McDonald's is, well, they're having some issues with McDonald's, and they haven't been doing so well. I was going to say their food is horrible, but, you know, I guess I just did. But
it's your opinion. We're free to have our opinion.
It is, yeah, but, you know, I don't want to trash McDonald's because I used to love McDonald's when I was a kid. Who didn't? But, yeah, people are looking for fast food, but they're looking for healthier food. So we'll see where that leads us. Big difference, though. Big difference from home meals to now all of the eating out. You know, even when we eat out, you know, sometimes, and this one might be combining two of the things that we've talked about tonight, like dating. A lot of people go out in groups, like girls in groups. And they have girls' night. I see so many posts about with girls going out and their pictures, and I'm like, well, when does a guy have a chance to meet you or just take you out alone? That's the difference. Like, the girls just have to hang out together.
The girls' night out, it attracts the guys. Trust me. When you're sitting in a restaurant, if you go to a restaurant with a group of your girlfriends, you would have some guy that wants to send a beverage over or say he want to pay for the meal or something. It's something about a guy seeing a group of girls at a table. I don't know why or whatever, but, a lot of my friends aren't here anymore, so I have to say I can't have as many girls' night out as I, you know, had before, like in college and stuff. Everybody's moved on, but occasionally, I like to get out and hang out with you know, friends, but, But something about that, guys see a group of girls, and I'm telling you, it's like a magnet. But going back to that whole cooking issue, and I don't want to belabor it too much, but I do want to make this point, and I've had several people at times tell me, you cook. You know, how do you have time for that? Like, I'm too busy. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, it's a personal, and you should never be too busy to want to take care of yourself. And so, and especially when it's something you enjoy doing, and I enjoy doing it. So, you know,
well,
hey,
that makes all the difference in the world if you enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to make time for the things that we enjoy doing. No question about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you have a friend who does love to cook for her husband or her significant other, you know, potential husband, or, you know, don't discourage her. Leave her be, you know, leave her be. And so, yeah.
Here's a change. Well, this one interests me anyway. cameras. Do you know that? And I'm sure you do know, but have you considered that there's no film in cameras anymore?
Yeah.
It's obsolete. You know, and I missed that moment of learning how to develop film. It's something that I always wanted to do and just never had time to do over the years. And now that I have this hobby of photography, that medium is no longer with us. But I can take multiple pictures on this tiny little card over and over again and just delete. And if I don't get it right, it's okay, because I can take hundreds of pictures on this one little card. Big change.
Yeah, I have reflective moments about things like that, you know, now everything is stored on the digital, you know, a digital format, or, you know, your USB cord or jump drive, whatever, you know, people choose to use. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, I had a, and I know folks are going to tell me, techies, I know you're going to get ready to say, back it up, back it up, back it up on a hard drive. But I had a virus on my laptop, and I lost over 3,000 pictures. I lost the video birth of my niece. So, you know, something I wanted to give to my sister as a gift. And I lost all of that. And I miss picture albums. I miss flipping through picture books. So one of the things I said, and I started doing it, and I got away from it. I wanted to take the time and print out a couple of those pictures and make a photo album. You know, so I that's something that I'm going to get back to doing. One of the things I said, once I complete the reno completely, that I will take my time and print some of those pics out and, you know, and put them in a photo
album.
And
I've had that conversation with a few people about the photo albums, and those people and me have good intentions of getting those photo albums out, going to the store, purchasing them, and starting those photo albums again. That was just a normal way of life, you know, having that photo book and flipping through it. Now, not so much, not even pictures on the walls. That's changed, too. In many, many homes, people don't hang photographs of the family anymore. And I've even heard people say, that's dated. That's outdated. People don't do that anymore. I like that.
Well, it's
I
all
like
on the phone.
Traffic.
Everything's on the phone. You know, it's like, oh, look at my pictures. It's all on the telephone. But, man, when something happens to that phone, you lose those pictures. Trust me, I had to really get over the fact that I lost over 3,000 pictures, you know. So
I tell you, technology has just changed everything about the way we just live day-to-day life. It's incredible how far we've come with technology. Little phone in my hand right now, it's a computer at my fingertips, wherever I go. For good, for bad, I don't know. But it's way convenient. It's, knowledge at your fingertips if you want or need it. It's incredible.
Yep. Well, you know,
when Alexander Graham Bell and all of them were, you know, developing the phone and all that experimenting, did they have any idea of what this day would bring here in this 21st century, just how far we would have advanced? I don't know. I wonder if they were those kind of visionaries that would have thought this is only the beginning. You know,
I'm sure for a person to have that type of mind, I'm sure they probably thought that somebody, I hope, you know, I'm just imagining that they probably thought that somebody's going to, you know, make this something else. Because if they were thinking the way that they were, you know, such brilliant minds to catapult it,
Yeah, it's truly amazing, you know, and everything should be done in a balance, you know, should be done with balance. And that's, you know, and that's what I'm trying to kind of reset, refocus, and just try to balance everything out. So I am absolutely going to go back to those photo albums.
Yeah, and even the way we shop is different, Tanyelle. I mean, I have a cousin, and she loves Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you look around, and she's, I mean, that UPS truck, his days are coming and going to her house. And she's always ordering something. So it's so convenient. And, again, she can either sit at the computer or she can do it on her phone. It's so easy. So easy to do, and it's so easy to get out of balance with it because it's so convenient.
That's what I was getting ready to say, that, again, you have to balance that thing out. I remember when I had surgery way back in 2001, and I had already known that I wanted to purchase a house. So all I can do was just sit on the couch because I had surgery on my foot, couldn't move around. And I was ordering all kind of stuff off QVC. You know, before I even had the house, I had the radio and, you know, the DVD player, all the stuff to put in it, the pots, and because I just was ordering stuff off of QVC. And I had to rein that thing in, you know, and not do so much of that. Not that online shopping is a bad thing, but again, Misa, you're correct. There should be a balance with this.
No, not that it's a good thing at all or a bad thing, but it's just a different thing. Remember in high school when you'd have to take the bus to go to the mall? You wanted to stop. That's usually where we went to hang out with our friends. We hop on the bus and go to Lakeside Mall.
Now
these
kids are not having
house
to
go shopping. They've never, you know, my daughter for one has never ridden on a bus. She's 24 and she's never ridden on a bus.
Jasmine never did either.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we bring them everywhere. We take them everywhere.
I know.
You know, I remember had taken Jasmine with me on a business trip to D.C., and she was in the elevator talking to one of my coworkers, and he had asked her if she knew how to drive a stick, and she said no. And he said, well, you should learn, you know, what if one of your friends needed you to drive or whatever? And she was like, I don't need to do that. I don't need to know how to drive. And you know, at the time, she didn't even know how to drive, period. And then she says, she made a statement. He says, well, how do you get around? Well, my granny brings me everywhere I have to go, or, you know, and then so, or my mom or whatever. And then she says, he says, you don't catch the bus? No. I don't have to. And it sounds so snobbish. It sounds so snobbish. And I remember telling when we got off of the elevator, I went, come here. You sound like a snob. And we're poor. I was like, you didn't grow up in a rich family. You know, you are blessed to have had the advantages that you had because it was a collective effort. You know, your mom didn't have to do everything by herself. But don't think that you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. You know, but I thought about it. We do. We picked her up. We dropped her off. And my mom was, oh, my goodness, she would go to the ends of the earth for that child. And so, yeah, we had spoiled her. It wasn't her fault, but it sounded horrible. And when she was saying it, you know, like, who is a snobbish child?
We have a really dedicated listener out there. I want you to push that number one and add your thoughts to this conversation, but I'm not putting any pressure on you. But you have been diligently, you have been all with us.
I would love to know who that is. Because I would call.
What
does that number start with, Misa?
It's a 250.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Erica. Yeah. But I just want to acknowledge you out there. I said, you've been hanging in there with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know that person. I'm a 2. Well, that's me. I'm 250.
No, it's not you.
Oh,
it's not you. No,
okay.
So there's a second one.
Okay.
We've got some other things that are trending lately. That's very interesting. The Girl Scouts.
Okay.
Wind of a change, a big difference with the Girl Scouts. They are now accepting transgender boys in the Girl Scouts.
Mm.
very, very different. I don't think Juliet Gordon-Lowe, who started the Girl Scouts, I wonder if she had that in mind. We're talking about visionaries who can see a little further off and think what people will pick up where they left off. I wonder if she ever had that. Big difference. Also with the Boy Scouts, they are soon, if they haven't already and I just missed it, but they're soon going to be making the decision on whether or not to have homosexual men as leaders.
Oh my goodness.
So those are some differences that are coming down the pike as far as social change. What else can I say here on my list? We talked about this before, a big difference in the Christian population. It's declining lately. And, you know, we had a brief little conversation about that at work today, two of my coworkers, and we were just kind of talking about the way the trends are going. And my conclusion of that whole matter is those of us who are grounded, rooted, believers in the Word, we have to stand firm. Not that we're going to see great change in the world, but we need to stand strong and not compromise our beliefs, not be conformed to this world. Because the Bible clearly says don't be conformed to this world. So that's a difference that I, for one, I noticed that in our Christian world, that we have been conforming. We've been doing a lot of conforming lately.
Yeah, and, you know, perhaps some of that decline is because people are real, they have to choose. Either you're going to be a friend of the world or enemy of God, and people are probably, you know, they're choosing, and some people are running away because they're choosing the first part of that statement, being a friend of the world, and you know, we just have to continue to pray for folks that are you know, deciding to make that decision to turn their face from God. And a lot of it is because some of the decisions that we're seeing and some of the things that we're talking about lately with all with the same-sex marriage. And really that's a that's a huge topic in this United States of America and pretty much worldwide. It's just not going on here where people are really faced with this issue of redefining marriage. And that issue has divided, divided Christians, and so maybe that's why we're seeing some of that decline. Yeah,
that could be. It could be. I know that once upon a time, just well before my generation, I was born in 1970, but from my observation, you could live a moral life and not so much brand yourself as I'm a Christian. It's just because society had more morals as a whole. These days, that's not so much. It's like you can live a moral life without the Holy Spirit. You can't do that today. It's like you absolutely need the Holy Spirit of God helping you, guiding you, directing you, and they are just strengthening you and pretty much telling you the way to go, telling you, giving you that little prick when you get off the path, when you're heading in maybe a direction that, no, this isn't for you, let's get you back over here. But once upon a time, society has changed just that much. I've thought about that today.
Yeah, and you know what, Misi, you know, Scripture tells us, though, that you don't, it's not a, when you say moral life, you know, that is so true. And maybe that's particular, some of the problem, though, is that we should always want to welcome the Holy Spirit to guide us on all matters that, you know, of life and all decisions that we have to make. So it's one thing to just do good because you're a good person, you know, but then there's another thing, you know, that you do want, to seek God in everything that you are doing, and maybe that's where some of the off balance or what have you is coming in, because people were just focused on doing good And it's easy to make up what you think doing good is because people are changing what good is. So that's what we're seeing.
That's the whole point, is just that what has been considered good in society is no longer. So you could have lived a moral life without so much being a Christian just because that was society's mores, and, you know, these are the rules of society, and people abided by that. And you know, there was this social consciousness of, no, I don't want to be labeled as that type of person. So we don't have those restraints anymore. That's the whole point that I'm making. So
yeah, because I'm guessing that some of mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead. No, finish your statement.
No, go ahead.
No, I said, as a child coming up, I thought that some of those morals or the mores, the values that we have, were built upon those commandments. That's what, and I had not even studied the Bible. I was just a kid. But I just felt that, I thought that that's where all that was coming from. And, you know, and I guess that's why now making that connection and, you know, seeing the commandments and, you know, being more aware, it just seems that people still feel it's moral. Some of they're defining what's moral. And I guess that's why I keep saying that, you know, you have to put the seeking of the Holy Spirit, I guess, allowing that to guide us over even being moral, because that whole moral thing is flaky. It's just, and that's how I'm feeling as of late, that now folks they're changing what they're saying is right. It's just, you know,
exactly.
It's like changing the rules
exactly.
of the game, you know. Yeah, just as is. This is not, it's normal now to say let, you know, two people live together. It's normal to have, what was that guy that had the multiple wives or whatever on the TV show? I mean, all those things were normal. It's like people are changing what's right. So
right.
depending on who you're talking to, they would say, well, it's morally right, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So just come in. Since we're talking about that, Jada and I the night before last, we were joking and laughing about her best friend taking a statement that she told her. My mom used to tell us all the time when we would go out on a Saturday night, or she would wake us up and stand over us on a Sunday morning. I mean, this lady would just not let up. And she would, you know, you're going to get up and go to church. And we're like, I'm tired. You can hang out all night. You can go to church. And I'm like, this lady, she just is aggravating. And you know, she would walk around because everybody in this serves the Lord. And, you know, we were laughing about that. And she mentioned it to one of her best friends. And so she said Javonda will call her and call some of the other friends on a Sunday. And she's recorded her own voice saying, everybody's going to wake up because this is the day the Lord has made. And in this house, we will serve the Lord, you know. And so we were just kind of laughing about that, not really fully appreciating what my mom was trying to do back then. But she came across a man named Joshua in the Bible who said that in this house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm assuming that's where she got that from. And she stuck to it because she did not make it easy for us on a Sunday morning. Hanging out till 5 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning on a Saturday night and having to get up and go to church was not fun. Not fun. Well, yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at my list here, Tanyelle, and I'm just mm-hmm. checking some stuff. And,
okay.
You know, and so I'm watching the clock as well.
Okay.
We're down to just over 5 minutes. So if there's anything else you want to add to the conversation,
well,
put on the table.
Well, I guess I would like to just end with what I just said, since we ended on talking about morals and values, and I just want to share that scripture of Joshua 24, verse 15. And if I can end with that, and it says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in
in whose land ye dwelled. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I just want to encourage people to, you know, just to continue to let that be the guiding, you know, tool in your life. Just always going back to what God says we should do in any and every situation. In any and every situation. So that's where I'll end.
Okay. We can actually end the whole thing right there. So on a good note. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Thank you, that really dedicated caller who is still hanging in there with us. Appreciate you so much. So until next time, this has been Ministry Along the Way Radio. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, bye-bye.
Good night, Demetria. Bye.